And I'm your host, your lucky host, Tom DiPietro. And I have a guest co-host and a guest.
Ooh.
That ooh came from Jess Puglisi.
Is my mic on?
Your mic is on.
I can't hear myself.
Let's try different headphones.
I will. Anyway, hello.
Yeah. And our guest, Peter Medici, or Medici as historically it's known. Get right on the mic, Peter. And you are here to talk about From the Page to the Stage, like that rhyme, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's your involvement with this project? And then we'll describe what it is.
Well, I'm going to be assistant directing, stage managing, and production assistant for this project.
Okay. So what is From the Stage? I'm sorry, From the Page to the Stage.
Basically, it's a workshop where a bunch of actors are going to get to choose their own any literary work. It could be a novel that speaks to them, a poem that inspires them, anything that they want to see come to life on the stage. And in this workshop, they're going to take it from the page to the stage, literally.
And it's ongoing. It's a class that'll be going on for quite a while, right? It's not just a one-time thing.
Indeed. It's Mondays and Wednesdays from 3:45 to 5:45.
At the Hudson Library?
Yep, at the Hudson Library.
And who's running it, other than you?
It's run by Carol Russoff.
Who's she?
She directs all kinds of stuff. She works for the Hudson Theater Project that's based out of the Hudson Opera House.
Oh.
So she's done quite a bit of work in the area.
As a director. And what's your background in this? Do you have a background in any of this?
Yeah,
I looked a little stunned by the question.
I've been acting for quite a while, and I've done all kinds of tech and stage managing, assistant directing, a lot of which I've done with Carol, so I've worked with her quite extensively myself.
Here in Hudson?
Yep.
Are you a Hudson High graduate?
No, I graduated from Taconic Hills.
Taconic Hills. And then you did some theater in college. Where did you go to study theater?
I went to Le Moyne College up in Syracuse.
Uh-huh.
I majored in theater with minors in arts administration, creative writing.
No, that's it. And could you explain why your hair is green?
Why not?
Okay. That's all. That's all it takes. That's
I like
all
it.
You like it, Jess?
Yeah, it's a nice... It's more teal than green for the listeners.
And you say your name, you claim to be descended from the great Medicis of Renaissance Florence?
Yep.
Not bad.
Is it true? I mean, is that just a family myth? Or?
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't really done much research into my heritage.
When a name like that, you don't bother to find out? No, you don't care?
No, nah, not really. Okay. I'm me. That's all that matters.
There you go. He is him. That's who he is. So let's get back to this program that you're going to be part of. You're going to assist Carol Russoff, who's been involved with a lot of local theater here in Hudson,
mm-hmm.
at the Opera House. And has she worked with, has she done programs through the library before?
Our last Hudson Theater Project performance, we performed at the library, although we didn't, as far as I know, she hasn't done anything specifically through the library.
What was that?
It was The Legend of the Giant Caterpillar. It was based off of an African folktale.
Mm-hmm. So what happened, this is for teenagers, by the way, we should mention, right? What's the age group that can participate?
Technically, they haven't quite decided what the exact age range is.
Can
we
I come?
It's, jury's still out on that
okay.
one. We know for sure that age 13 to 19 is okay. They're trying to decide whether or not they're allowing anyone older than that.
Yeah, that would exclude me. I'm 20. So you choose a work, a literary work, and then you try to turn it into a performance piece.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done something like this before? Is this a common exercise in theater?
Not really. I mean, they've done a little bit of it at my college, but I personally haven't adapted anything for the stage yet, although I do have a couple literary works that I would really like to.
What would you do, for example?
Well, my favorite book is called Jack and the Cuckoo Clock Heart. And there's also a movie based on it, and it's got the most amazing imagery and, like, the craziest story that I think would translate to the stage fantastically.
Is that a young adult novel, or is it a...
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be, like, you could see it as a full-length dramatic production, or...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. How about you, Jess? You got any things you want to turn into a stage performance?
That's a very good question. Not one that I actually...
One of those books about serial killers you read?
Yeah. Well, the book I'm reading now, you could probably take a little chunk of it, Black Sun.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of... That's the thing. So I guess one question is structurally, you don't have to take... Say there's a really great scene in a book, you can take that. People aren't trying to adapt an entire work all the time? Or
yeah, I don't think... I don't think we'd have enough time to adapt an entire novel for the stage in that amount of time. They're planning on doing scenes, or if it's a poem that someone wants to adapt, then obviously that could be adapted as a full stage performance.
Sure.
But for the most part, they're looking to do smaller scenes as opposed to one full work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And will there be a performance of all these at some point?
Yep. I believe the performance is going to happen on the last day of the workshop, although I'm not entirely sure.
Will it be open to the public?
Yep, absolutely.
Cool. So you're not sure that... Do you have any... I mean, have you sent out a call to young people to do this yet? Or, I mean, is this... Is that partly why you're here?
That's part of the reason why I'm here. I'm going to be going into some local schools to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going into Hudson Junior High next week during their Meet the Teacher night to talk about it. And that's the only one we have officially booked so far, but I'm going to be going into a bunch of the local schools to talk about it. And we've done some Facebook blasts and putting up posters everywhere.
Anybody interested yet? I mean, has there been much interest?
I think we have a couple names down so far, but...
How many... Maximum, do you think you can handle?
I don't think they really have a maximum. I think they're just kind of looking at it as the more the merrier.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
And you'll be the assistant director to Carol Russoff. This is all going to take place at the new library, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Monday and Tuesdays in the late afternoon from 3:45 to 5:45. And it begins October 3rd. So you have a little bit of time. Now, let's see. There are various ways to register. You can go to, you can email brenda.schufelt at hudsonarealibrary.org. Who's she?
She works at the library. She's sort of the director of all the library programming and all of that.
Or you can just go right to the library and stop at the front desk and ask for a registration form. Or, yet another way, call 828-1792 extension 101. And I assume that sends you to Brenda Schufelt.
Yep.
And you can sign up that way. So there are three ways to sign up. It says you have the support of the Rhinestrom Hill Community Foundation. Do you know what that is? No idea, huh?
I have no idea.
Okay. That's... If anybody else does have an idea, give us a call and tell us who they are. They are supporting this. What sounds like a great project in teen theater, and there's been a lot of that locally. Much of it through the Opera House in the past, and now they're moving over to the library. And you're going to be working with Carol Russoff twice a week, every week, between October and mid-December. It's quite a problem. Jess, do you have any questions for our guest?
No, I think you should come back, though, when it's almost time for the public program and remind people. Otherwise, they will forget. But
yeah,
it sounds
like
a fun thing to...
And also, maybe we could feature some of the performers, if the ones that are less visual, perhaps.
Yeah, short ones.
You know, the short ones. Yeah, short ones.
So that sounds great.
So we've been talking to Peter Medici, who is going to co-direct or be assistant director to this program, From the Page to the Stage. Thank you, Peter, for coming in. Anything else you'd like
you
to share
me.
About it, or anything we missed?
No, not really. Okay. I think we pretty much covered it.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for coming in. And once again, it'll be on Mondays and Tuesdays in October and through December, late in the afternoon after school, 3:45 to 5:45. And there are three ways to sign up. You can call up 828-1792 9-2, extension 101. Email brenda.schufelt. Dot is not her middle name. Dot is a literal dot at hudsonarealibrary.org. Or you can just stop by at the front desk and pick up a form. Thank you for coming in.
Hooray.
Awesome. Right. Thank you for having me.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're willing to sit there and listen to see Radio Magic, or listen to Radio Magic as Jess and I pursue it. Jess, how you doing there? Thanks for coming in yet again as a guest host. I mean, you're no Ellen Thurston, but you'll do. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Well, I hope to sort of mature into Ellen Thurston or an Ellen Thurston-like substance one day.
That's going to take time.
I'm waiting.
Lots of time.
I'm very patient, Tom.
So, Jess, you going to Soundscape this weekend?
No.
Oh, well, that's a strong endorsement.
Well, I would if I was planning to be in Hudson, would be the first thing on my list.
You like Angel Olsen?
I do like Angel Olsen.
What about P. Genesis Orange?
Genesis P. Orange?
No, it's yes. P. Genesis.
No.
Bets?
Oh, really?
I think so.
Maybe she switched it around again. Okay. But yeah. Anyway, yes. Okay. Maybe not up to date with all the latest machinations, but yes.
Any other groups I should be on the alert for?
I don't know. Save Yourself, Hometown Heroes. Come on.
Please.
Come on.
Little Logie Vischer?
Yeah, and Colin.
And Colin, you know. I guess. Yeah. How did they sneak in there?
I think, actually, I heard this on WGXC. Melissa was raving about their performance on the first Drone Fest 2 years ago, in 2015, I guess, which I remember well, actually. I stayed up to the ungodly hour of maybe 3 a.m. when their set time was, and it was actually quite a nice performance.
So Save Yourself, I believe they're on Saturday night?
They're Saturday. They're very early.
That's
so
right. They're like the openers.
Yeah. They're
Reader is the opener.
They're after Amber Tamblyn.
Amber Tamblyn.
The poet.
Is that what she is?
Yeah. She actually, it's funny. I in my other incarnation, my non-WGXC related work, she was part of an event that Fence held in Minneapolis last April for AWP. She read
poetry.
From a book of poetry, but you know she's so she is Russ Tamblyn's daughter.
Oh, of course I knew that.
I didn't know that. I was much more excited about that than all her other celebrity credentials. I was like, oh my god, Dr. Jacoby. You know, anyway, yeah, she was okay.
What?
I'd come in for Save Yourself, frankly. But
who publishes her poetry?
Someone like Vintage or something. Like she was like the blingy. She was the draw. Unfortunately, our contribution to the event was the Otessa Musshreg. Who
is now shortlisted for the Booker.
Fact, yes. And
big deal.
Yeah, many, but not the National Book Awards, which were announced today, which actually was a little surprising because I thought she was just going to, I don't know.
Could be the times. I mean, the timing of when it came out.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe she was for last year or would have been for last year. Who knows?
But anyway, in any event, so she was, I feel like, a little bit dwarfed by the glitter of Amber Tamblyn.
Yeah,
who's
I mean,
a vivacious persona.
That reminds me of the great poetic debut of Jewel.
Wait, A Knight with No Armor?
Yeah, was that what
I never tire of saying that.
A Knight with No Armor.
A Knight with a Knight.
Oh, it was a Knight.
It was a pun. Yeah.
No, it was spelled N-I-G-H-T, right?
No, it was a Knight with No Armor, like a denuded
warrior.
Warrior.
Yeah, I had the great fortune to review it, I think I told you at the time.
How'd that go?
Not very well.
for you or for Jewel?
For both.
Oh, okay.
I had to read it. She had to read the review. So it was equally
tit for tat.
Tit for tat, yeah.
But
I love it when celebrities publish poetry.
Well, you know, I have a feeling that trend will not die anytime soon. So, you know, how about what's up with Viggo Mortensen? Isn't he a publisher of poetry?
Oh, really?
I believe. Doesn't he have some crazy imprint that he just stamps out all by himself somewhere?
Nice.
Yeah. And
who's the publisher? James Franco?
Yeah. You know, it's reciprocal. No, but I don't know actually. Or maybe he publishes his own, but I'm pretty sure Viggo has an imprint or some sort of, I don't know, publishing adventure all his own that is not solely in the service of his own poetic works, whatever those may be.
James Stewart used to write poetry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, great.
Like that. Wow. Sorry. That was like two syllables of a James Stewart impersonation.
Who is the best celebrity poet? Like, let's say, like the best silver screen celebrity poet. actor, poet. Is there anyone who's ever successfully gone from one to the other? Because I don't want to even open the can of worms about like rock and roll poets.
I'm sticking with James Stewart.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Do you have any of those texts?
No.
Okay. So you can bring him
in. You know, Ron McEwen's basically was a songwriter before he started publishing that
but
stuff.
I already said no songs.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's too easy. Cause yeah, it is. Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
Jewel.
Excuse good me. Question. Actors. You know, I know there are many people who just worship the poetic effusions of Sean Penn. Not really.
What was it? Oh, the El Chapo article. That was that was all of the writing of Sean Penn's I think I'll ever need to read in a lifetime. Yeah, that was quite a thing.
But, well, it equaled his interview of Chavez from Venezuela. Well,
that's what I'm talking about. Wait, he did it. Oh, he did it. What?
He interviewed Hugo Chavez.
I don't know.
It's amazing what you can get done if you're a celebrity.
Or if you're like megalomaniacal and have no sense of your own like limitations.
Wow, that's harsh.
Sean Penn does not care.
Oh, I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, come at me, Penn.
You have a cold, you have tooth problems. Is that why you're being so ungracious?
Actually, you know, to be honest, the reason I'm being so ungracious is I realized how little energy I had since as I was coming from not one but two dentist appointments today and also had
a
cold.
What do you mean two? How do you go to two dentists?
I left and they told me to come back.
Explain that, please.
Well, partly because all I'm going to say, I'll circle back to the original thing, which is I downed a cup of coffee right before I came here, which was my first today, so I'm a little revved up. Sorry. Okay. But anyway, so I went to the dentist appointment, the machine that you have to bite and encircles your head and
the x-ray
shoots
machine,
radon into you or whatever. Yeah. That was down when I was there the first time. And they felt that my wisdom tooth situation was so severe that I needed a consultation with an oral surgeon, like toot sweet, basically. So they sent me away because he was busy at that moment. And then I came back and then he told me what was up. It wasn't good. No. But I can still talk today. There's just going to be a period of time next month where I will be uncharacteristically, I'll just be kind of like a swollen blob.
That's right.
Just only you eating blob-like
food.
Like
a chipmunk.
Yeah, exactly.
With big fat cheeks and pain. You'll be in pain. You get good drugs.
Yeah, you know.
Probably.
But that's the thing. Everyone always says that, but you're in no state to enjoy them.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Like, you know.
Well, you just got to get them to overprescribe.
Yeah.
So you have something afterwards.
Oh, it hurts. I don't know. Yeah, I might call upon you. To give me, I was like, so do you think I'll be able to like drive myself home? And keep in mind that the dentist's office is up that hill. You know, he's like, you're going to be drunk.
Well, I had that experience. They wouldn't let me go from my procedure last week without a ride home. And it was just down the hill. I live down the hill from the hospital.
I was going to say, I almost asked him, like, what if I take my bike?
Right. What if you just roll me down the hill? I'll make it.
You know? Don't you have a little cart for that? No.
But it was nice. Someone came and picked me up. They gave me a little roll.
Yeah.
In the hospital, they give you a little roll with a cup of coffee or tea.
A roll.
Your so-called Kaiser roll.
Yeah.
With a little bit of butter.
Not the Stewart's. Are you aware that you are?
What?
The Stewart's. And I'm looking. One of my sort of quiet quests in life is to see that this is not just a one-off idiosyncrasy, but in fact a trend. The Stewart's thing where you see the buttered hard rolls, and you see the buttered hard rolls, or the peanut buttered hard rolls, and then you see the peanut butter and buttered hard rolls.
Oh, no, I never noticed that.
Yeah.
You tried one?
No. I think the butters should stay in their own separate hard rolls, but I just want to know if there's another place where this happens, you know, if it's...
Where people put peanut butter and butter in a hard roll.
Yeah, if that...
Not in my experience, Jess. And I'm quite... I mean, I've really traveled the world of Kaiser rolls and hard rolls.
Well, you know, I don't want to open a can of worms with you, but, you know, I do wonder if this is like another pepperoni sandwich.
a local thing?
Like a hyper local.
Well, maybe it's a Stewart's thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you, you know, you've got me hip to Stewart's ice cream, which has not which been a good thing good, because I really like it and I'd like to stop
there. I should update you. I'm off ice cream until 2017.
And why is that? Some Lenten type thing?
I just had a really bad Sunday after eating a Blizzard. I was so full that I was going to cry.
Aww.
Yeah, so the rest of the day. And it was the smallest Blizzard they make. And I had wanted a Blizzard since mid-July and hadn't encountered a Dairy Queen. And so finally everything aligned. And then my Sunday, until like 8 o'clock, I was so full that it was just... I felt like I needed to be in the cart that they roll you out of the dentist in the rest of the day.
Well, it's funny because I since discovered Stewart's Gelato, as Mr. Medici might be interested in. They had a sweet caramel, a salted caramel gelato.
Is it lighter?
Oh, yeah. Really good.
So
and cheap.
You know, actually, on,
and
the,
cheap.
On the ice cream beat, you know what I heard is one... there's an ice cream opening perhaps as soon as this Saturday.
Are we talking about the one on the corner of 7th Street and Warren Street?
In fact, I am. Oh. You're nodding like you know. Are you an employee there?
I applied. I haven't gotten the definite yes or no back, but my interview went pretty well. So.
So you'll be slinging.
Who interviewed you, Gabby or Rachel? Or both?
Gabby, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put in a good word.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's a BFF.
Yeah. And he probably wants a Medici on his side, so.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Ow.
Excellent.
But yeah, so, yeah, he was grousing about things in the coffee shop this afternoon. So
it's well, that's his nature.
Exactly. So it seems likely that it's impending.
Good
Very
for
exciting.
Him.
Very exciting.
Now it's nice and cold out.
Yeah. Hey.
So the day of my procedure, you know what? I woke up from a nap after the procedure.
Are you talking about the unmentionable procedure?
Okay. Well, people want to know that a doctor was searching up my colon. But
that's unmentionable, Tom.
Yeah. I did something I haven't done ever before in the city of Hudson. I went to Carvel.
Ooh.
And ordered the large size cup of Carvel.
Really?
It was so good. I love, you know, Carvel and me go way back.
You didn't get like a personal ice cream cake?
No. I wonder if, you know, right out of the machine.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, Carvel, you know, is from where I'm from, you know.
Yonkers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah.
A lot of, yeah.
So we go back, you know.
You know, do you know how hard, have you ever had the opportunity to try to like do a soft serve cone?
You mean as a server?
Yeah, it's a lot harder. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it's not easy. I work at Burger King right now, and I have to make them for people all the time, and it's rough. It's a rough time.
I worked at a cafe, and it was, you know, we all had it was an espresso machine and everything, you know, and there was a deli slicer, you know, all sorts of the complicated machinery that you could conceivably injure yourself with or make bad products with, and everybody had all that down, and then the owner decided to get a soft serve machine, and it was just like bedlam, you know, just ice cream everywhere. And then finally we hired some girl, and everyone's kind of, all these like Bard students kind of just apathetic about it, you know, just like, oh, whatever, who cares, it's ice cream. And then she hired some girl whose only other job, she's probably like 16 or something, her other job had been working at Holy Cow and Red Hook, and she was the savant. So we just basically placed her in front of the soft serve machine where she would just put out these perfect cones. But the rest of us, it was just like ice cream pouring over it. It's hard. It's an art. It's, you know, a subtle art.
Well, I'll keep that in mind next time I,
so tip those people.
Yeah, it's good reason to do it.
Yeah.
And Carvel, of course, is the best of all soft serves. As
really?
We know. Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
I just grew up with it, so I like it. So, Peter, you're working at Burger King. How do they, there's no dress code there or anything?
No, yeah, we have a uniform.
Oh, but they don't care about the dye in the hair?
The hair? Our old manager wasn't really so keen on it, but the newer manager doesn't mind as much.
Do you have a thing over it? A hat over it?
We wear hats, right?
Yeah, we wear either a visor or a hat. Either one is acceptable if you're in the front. In the back, you have to wear a hat.
Mm-hmm. Right. And where are you, front or back?
I'm front.
That's because you have a winning personality, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Right.
Is it better to be in the front or the back, do you think?
People in back are all greasy and stuff, right?
But people are probably abusive
if,
in the front.
Yeah, if you're in the front, you get abused by customers pretty
really?
Regularly. Yeah.
Are you the one right here on Fairview?
Yep. I've almost gotten fought by drunk people before. It gets rough sometimes. It's
character building is what you call it.
You could call it that.
You know, Tom, I recall that recently, the last time I think I was on the show, we ended up talking about Burger King because of my fascination with the chicken sticks.
The chicken fries?
Yeah, exactly. Remember?
Chicken fries?
Yeah, remember Pat Lanan was on?
Yeah. I thought we were talking about lobster rolls. Or is that McDonald's?
That was McDonald's. That's the competition. We don't mention that now.
We're neither going to help nor hurt them by discussing either. But what chicken fries are like thin pieces of chicken shaped like a fry?
I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like chicken and it's breaded and fried and...
They're like elegant
shaped
chicken
like a
tenders.
French fry, yeah, pretty much.
Do people order them a lot? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, they order them quite a bit, and we've had like a bunch of different kinds of them too. And they just came out with Cheetos chicken fries, which I haven't tried yet. But
wait, it's like dipped in Cheeto?
Pretty much.
Oh right, my god,
this might be the thing that gets me in.
That's like a junk food wet dream or something.
Well, they had the they're competing obviously with the Doritos Taco Bell. Option,
I'm not up on these fast food follies.
Come on, gotta stick with the times, man.
Yeah, I can't eat that stuff.
I just spectate. I don't eat a lot of it.
I eat it every day, and I hate myself for it.
Do you ever like go to McDonald's and secretly sneak the cheeseburgers back in? Just
sometimes
for a change. I used to work at a diner, and we would order. There's a pizza store across the street, like actually is the diner on 82, so it was JoJo's Pizza. We'd get them to deliver us pizza instead of eating diner food, so I feel you.
But. Yeah, we're a lot of us are friends with some of the people that work at McDonald's, so sometimes we'll order food and have them like bring it over for us, and then like they'll order food from us and we just like buy food and just have one person like bring it back and forth. You send a messenger.
I was just gonna say the exchange.
That's not right. You guys should be at war.
But like cheeseburgers flying.
Yeah, right. Or prank calls to each other.
And how does Dunkin' Donuts figure into this at all? Or are they shunned?
Breakfast.
Yeah. They're mostly breakfast stuff. So they're like, they're their own niche. So
there
we don't have to
niche
fight
marketing.
With them so much.
Yeah. Man.
You working there full time?
I work about 30 hours a week there.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're going to make sure they don't give you any benefits. So they don't want to give you 40 hours.
Exactly.
Yep.
Wow, but you get free food, huh?
Nope.
No?
Nope. I get half off a meal up to $8 total, so like $4 off max, and that's only on days that I work.
Wow.
I feel like I want to drop you off like a peanut butter sandwich next time I'm on Fairview.
If you do that, I will probably love you forever.
And maybe it'll have butter in it too, though.
So I take it you are living with your parents?
I'm actually in the process of moving out right now.
Oh, on that Burger King salary, huh?
Yep. It's working great.
Are you moving into Hudson or do you?
Yep. Up to State Street.
Oh, cool. I see.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, welcome aboard.
I'm only staying here for a little while, and then I'm off to the city.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have something lined up, or are you?
Kind of. I don't have a job lined up, but my boyfriend lives up there, and I'm going to be moving up with him.
Oh, great.
Sounds into New York City.
Yep. Oh. Well, down.
Down, yes.
Yeah, don't get lost.
Are you going to try to get into... Are you going to start going on auditions?
I don't know necessarily if I want to be on the performance side or the tech side, but I'm definitely going to get involved in theater when I get up there. I've already started. When I visit him on the weekends, I go to movement theater classes and things like that, so...
There you go.
Cool.
So Burger King is not in your future.
Nope, it's in my present and not the future.
Means to an end.
Yeah, pretty much. I love the people I work with, but it's just not the kind of place I could work for an extended period of time. I've been there for about a year now, and that's more than enough.
Yeah.
What's the turnover like there? Constant?
Yeah, especially night shift. We have a lot of turnover.
Uh-huh. Do you work nights?
I do work nights. It's close there.
Is it? It's not 24 hours, right?
No, we close at midnight.
Oh, okay. So it's not super terrible. But yeah, it could get late, though. Yeah.
So what's the worst thing that's happened to you?
That's
appropriate for the radio.
at Burger King. Mm. I'd say probably the drunk guy that tried to fight me because he had to wait for his fries to come up fresh.
Yeah. You mean you tried to serve him unfresh fries?
No, I told him he had to wait until fries came up so had fries. And he got really mad and tried to fight me.
Like he reached over the counter?
Yeah, he started to. And then the guy in the kitchen came out and he was like, dude, get out of the store now. And the guy's like, and then he left. So I didn't have to fight him, which was good because I don't really fight people. So,
and the Burger King code explicitly says that if a customer tries to fight, you must fight him back. No,
I don't really know what the, I'm assuming I probably would be okay if you fought me and I defended myself, I'm glad I don't have to figure that out.
Yeah, no. Better not to fight anybody who's a customer where you work.
For sure.
I feel like it ends poorly. Not that I haven't done that ever, I don't think.
What, fought a customer?
Yeah, although I did.
I threatened customers.
I pushed somebody out of the Spotty Dog once who was drunk and almost destroyed an instrument. But it wasn't a thinking gesture. I just went like, ugh! And they went flying into the Warren Street, and I locked the door behind them and was stunned by my own brutality. But
I worked the midnight shift at an all-night place in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Uh-oh.
And so the drunk undergraduates would come in, and sometimes I'd deal with them roughly.
Really?
Because I was sober.
Fisticuffs.
No, I'd just tell them to get out.
But
you know?
In a mean voice?
With a tough voice.
Get out.
Exactly. I pay the consequences. Yeah. Feeling lucky? That's what I'd say.
Oh, dang.
It wasn't fun dealing with drunk customers is probably the worst thing in the world for any service industry person.
It is. Accurate.
Although it can be, it's funny to a point, you know, and then you're just like, this is a terrible, like, weird purgatory that I no longer want to be a part of. You know? Yeah.
Drunk, like, people in general just aren't that good with logic, and you can tell them, like, perfectly, like, this is how it is, and, like,
well,
like, I'm doing the best. But if they're drunk, like, they're even worse at logic. Yeah. It just doesn't. It just
and you know what?
Because
I've also worked at a fancy restaurant. It's even worse there because then you have to be really nicer. You know, because that's the way management wants it. You don't just, like, say, get out or whatever. You know, you got to really. Oh. Coddle them.
Yeah, that's very true.
As you've done both
I've coddled
extremes,
a lot of
drunks,
terrible drunk people, in many different scenarios. Yeah, I could probably frame a memoir or at least maybe a play.
I really
you
feel
could perform it for your age stage.
There.
Exactly, but that might have to be once you decide to up the age limit a little.
I feel like my daughter's been deprived. That. She's never had one of these jobs.
Well, I mean, you could pull her out of medical school and throw her in the
I mean,
like
she's
coal
had
mine.
She's had retail jobs, but never food-related, which are the worst.
Yeah. I think a year in the service industry, at the very least, like the food service industry, should be basically... That's almost more important than going to college in terms of being a...
Or the military.
A compassionate human being. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, everyone should have to do 1 year of food service just so that they understand.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to live in this, like, cushy society, please just go do something like that for a year and then rethink your whole strategy if you don't regard human beings with respect. I'm sorry, I have a cold. I'm a little rambly
It's all right.
Today.
It's all right.
Yeah.